Hello, you are listening to the Tech and Tonic Podcast, Season 2, Episode 29. Now, this is a show where we talk and discuss about all things tech. And last week, well, we usually start with, you know, news lah. And you're joining me, Darwin and Jeevan again, before I forget to introduce people again, because I tend to do that. But anyway, last week was a very eventful week, actually, like, a bit crazy. I don't even understand how we have so much materials from last week. But yeah, we start off with, you know, PlayStation Showcase. And I think the most exciting thing for me was Wolverine and God of War, to me.
Yeah. And the fact that Wolverine is being developed by the same studio as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I kind of expected that, but that would be actually quite interesting to see. Especially God of War, because I love the game that's on PlayStation 4, right? But this will be developed for PlayStation 5. We don't have a PlayStation 5 just yet, so...
It's stock still very low.
Yeah. But anyway, that is the PlayStation Showcase. They, well, announce a bunch of games. They showcase a bunch of games. So let us know what you're interested in, or at least what you're excited about. Google One last week added a new storage plan. They added a 5 terabyte storage plan, but the thing is, Malaysia doesn't get it lah. Malaysia's Google One storage plan just tops out at 2 terabytes. So the 5 terabyte is about $24.99. That's about
ringgit.
About 100 ringgit more, probably about 120 ringgit somewhere there, right? And that's a monthly bill. For Malaysia, that's actually quite expensive to pay for, especially if you're going to pay for it in a year. You're paying more than $1,000 for storage. But it is kind of like their new range, not really their top of the range thing, right? It's a step up from 2 terabytes. Before this, it's a step up from 2 terabytes to 10 terabytes. There's no liquid, which is kind of weird at the same time. But yeah, now you get 5 terabytes. YouTube was also in the news last week. They sort of shut down. Is that the right word? They shut down Rhythm. Rhythm is a third party YouTube streaming app on Discord, which is what we're using to record this podcast, right? And yeah, basically they shut them down, so you don't have any ability to basically stream YouTube on Discord anymore. So you can't use what they call YouTube streaming, or not streaming YouTube, streaming music at least to Discord servers and stuff like that by yourself, which kind of sucks, but there are other ways to do it. There are a lot of other ways to do it. Just gotta be clever about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is Discord.
Yeah, it is Discord. You can do whatever on Discord. Google Hangouts last week finally shut down Hangout. Well, yeah. So Google Hangouts was finally shut down last week. They were actually warning users about it already way before. And they want to move their platform to the Google Meets platform. So they sort of shut down Google Hangouts last week, and what a sad day.
It's been coming for 2 years. I mean,
it has been.
The announcement was made 2 years ago.
It has been, but you know, Google Hangouts is quite iconic. It was, I think, a lot of people's first video conferencing app that was completely free, and it was completely easy to use. It's web-based, and everybody got a hang of, you know, video conferencing from Google Hangouts, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was the first kind of collaborative video conferencing app that we kind of used as well.
Well, spiritually succeeded by Google Meets, which is more functional than Hangouts anyways.
Yeah, but you soon have to pay for it also anyway. Nintendo Switch last week was in the news for some really good reasons. So Nintendo Switch, the OLED version anyway, is coming globally on the 8th of October onward. And last week, the prices in Europe dropped.
Yeah.
So it dropped from 349 euros, I think, to 299 euros, which is quite a lot. It's quite a lot of euros there. So if you are expecting to buy a Nintendo Switch, maybe just wait around a little bit and see if your local retailer reflects that price drop. You could probably get your hands on one Nintendo Switch for probably about, what, 1,002 or less?
Maybe I think even less, because it in pounds, it dropped by 10 pounds.
Yeah, which is
10 to 20
in Malaysia
pounds,
ringgit. Actually. In Malaysia ringgit is actually quite a lot. So
yeah,
you just have to wait and see what's going on. But anyway, they also did launch. Well, they released a new update for the older switches.
Yeah,
that sounds wrong. The older switch,
is that the non OLED switch?
Plural switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, switches.
Switches.
So, the Nintendo Switch will get Bluetooth audio support. Like, finally.
Yeah, and it also fixes your download problem if you had it with the previous update.
Right, but then you cannot connect more than two controllers if you are connecting your Bluetooth audio to the Nintendo Switch, which kind of suck, but it's a trade-off, right?
It makes sense, though. If you're connecting Bluetooth audio, I think the assumption is that you're connecting on the go. So, if you're connecting on the go, I don't think you would need more than two controllers.
Yeah, but even then, like, if you're using Bluetooth audio on your own as a personal audio, really, why do you need more than two controllers?
Yeah, and technically, if you're having party time with the Nintendo Switch, if you're on the go, the screen is too small for 8 people.
Yeah, you're not going to have more than 8 people there. It's fine.
Yeah.
So this kind of makes sense. I don't think it's a very bad change. I think everybody is welcoming the Bluetooth audio, but I have read some reports that it is a little glitchy and there is a big, big, big audio delay. We haven't tried it yet.
Very big audio delay.
Yeah.
I think mine was nearly about a minute.
Oh, you've tried it. Okay.
Yeah. Mine was nearly about, not a minute, about 10 seconds.
Oh, that's quite big.
Yeah, but it might also be because there was a lot of Bluetooth devices around me.
Right, but probably they'll fix it, you know, in the next update. Let's hope they do, right?
It's
but
this actually is a caveat in the update notes itself.
Mm.
They put there will be audio delays.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, it's still a very good update, I think, and
yeah, it is.
We'll just have to wait, you know, if they release new updates for it to at least, you know, get the Bluetooth audio fixed to at least probably about 1-2 second delay. That's still acceptable. It's still bad, but it's still manageable, you know.
I think they'll optimize as they go, as Nintendo always does.
Yeah. Anyway, Qualcomm launched two new processors last week. Not much is known about it. They were talking about it. They weren't really making an announcement, a huge announcement about it. But they want to make these new processors, the SM... Well, at least this is their code name. SM6375 and 6225. These are mid-range, smartphone-ish type of processors. And these are made for gaming because it comes with 8 cores, each of them. Okay, 4 high-powered cores and 4... lower powered costs and whatnot. These are the usual big small architecture that you see in your flagship smartphones anyway, and they want to make it like a gaming sort of mainstream type of processor, which is good news basically, which means that, you know, high powered smartphones will be more accessible, I think, or at least for Android smartphones. You're not going to see an iPhone at that price, no way.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, I'm wondering, are they just rebatching old processors?
They might be, but these are new processors, right? So these are new development processors. So I'm thinking they might be reusing slightly older technology, but kind of repackaging it in a new form for newer smartphones kind of thing. You know, just to get everyone on the same page, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sennheiser also launched something last week. I told you there's a lot of things happening. Sennheiser launched the CX, CX Plus ANC earbuds, true wireless earbuds. These are noise-canceling earbuds that are actually very, very cheap considering it's a Sennheiser, right? It's sold at US dollars. In US dollars, it's $179, which is about, in ringgit, is about
580.
Somewhere there. Which is not bad. It's actually a very good price for, you know, a Sennheiser. Like, yeah. Samsung, they finally released a One UI 4.0 beta for the Samsung Galaxy S21 series. That is, so if you're not on the S21, you can't really try it out for now. But yeah, that's the Android 12 beta program for Samsung users. That's for the Samsung Galaxy S21 users. So if you want to opt in, you can find out how. The Oppo
Find X3.
Yeah, the Find X3 Pro last week was relaunched. It's not relaunched now, okay? They kind of released a new special edition version. This is a Kodak version. They designed it to look like the old Kodak.
Yeah, they're calling camera. It the photography edition.
Yeah, they come with some new filters and everything, you know, but technically they're basically just the same phones as the Find X3 Pro. So yeah, that's basically about it. They'll probably release it with a slightly higher price tag if they ever release it in Malaysia at all. But
yeah, I think it's going for like 4,399 yuan.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that was the pricing that it was released, announced at in China.
Yeah, for now, it's only sold in China, for now. Okay, so we don't know when it will actually go out of China or ever if it goes out to China, but it's the same phone as the Find X3 Pro. You still get the Snapdragon 888, the same cameras, you know, it's still the same arrangement. It looks the same. It's the same phone.
Yeah.
Anyway, Logitech also launched a new audio device. They launched the G435 budget wireless Bluetooth headphone. Yeah, it's a new Bluetooth headphone that sells... It's strictly Bluetooth, by the way. It sells for 80 USD, which is about 350 ringgit, somewhere there, right? It's not released in Malaysia just yet, but it soon will be because Logitech usually releases their products quite fast. In Malaysia and US, it's usually about the same time, right? So we can expect that. This is kind of a budget wireless gaming headset, and apparently it's super, super light. I've seen some of the reviews. It looks interesting, right? It's a budget headphone, so you can't expect too much out of it, but it's a Logitech, so yeah. Then Google. This one, they're not so lucky lah. This one, they were found guilty of, you know, the monopoly thing in South Korea. We were just mentioning it last week, okay, and they were fined $771 million for violating the monopoly laws in South Korea and whatnot. It's bad.
It's actually good for users though.
Yeah, because it's bad for Google.
Yeah, it's bad for Google. It's good for users because in particular, they were targeting Google's cornering of manufacturers in Android. The court found them guilty of disallowing forks of Android for development. So basically what they mean by forks is EMUI is considered a fork of Android, and even MIUI. So
right.
Basically you're using Android as a base to build your own OS. And that was what the ruling was targeting in particular. So It's interesting times in South Korea, and I'm not sure whether other countries will be adopting the same stance.
Right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Canon last week launched their new flagship camera thing. It's EOS R3. This is a $6,000 camera, that's about 27,000 ringgit. And it is not a consumer level camera. Okay, it's a 24 megapixel camera, but it's made for professionals, for, you know, sports photographers. It comes with a new autofocus feature that's supposed to help focus on cars and stuff like that, fast moving objects basically. But it's not a consumer grade camera. It's just very expensive. Okay. Microsoft says last week that, you know, Windows 11 is not going to be officially supported on the M1 Max. So if you are looking to dual boot your Mac that is powered by the M1 chips, maybe don't. At least for the Windows 11, because you might not know what will happen to your M1 Mac or how it will work, because they're not going to officially support it. Yeah. Last week, Sonos also launched a new audio product, the Sonos Beam Generation 2, the second generation Beam. It comes with Dolby Atmos and it will sell in Malaysia for about 2,699 ringgit.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. It's still a Wi-Fi type of, you know, soundbar for your TV and stuff like that. So it's Sonos.
Yeah. It Razer also comes with DTSX, if I'm not
mistaken. DTSX. Yes, yeah. DTSX. Yeah.
And it has the support for HDMI eARC this round.
Well, so, yeah, finally. Anyway, Razer also launched a new stuff. They launched a new controller for the Xbox. Not like Xbox is officially supported in Malaysia anyway. But they launched a new Razer, what's this called? Wolverine V2 Chroma. It's a very high-end controller. And it will set you back 744 ringgit 90 cents. Which is technically the 3 times the price of a Xbox controller.
It's a lot for a controller.
It is, but it's Razer. Anyway, we're moving on to the phone launches now, the bigger launches now. Xiaomi launched the 11T. They finally dropped the Mi name. We didn't think that it will be this early though. Like, we actually thought that they were going to be holding on for a while with their Mi 11 series. But no, it's a Xiaomi 11T and Xiaomi 11T Pro, which are technically sort of just slightly more powerful devices compared to the Mi 11. To me, okay, it's not that much of an upgrade, except you get a better camera of course on the 11T and the 11T Pro. You get the 108 megapixel camera, so it's more of a creator device that they're selling this time, you know, but everything else is about the same as the Mi 11. So yeah,
I think we're quite used to this from Xiaomi at this point.
Yeah, there's no official Malaysia pricing just yet, but the Xiaomi 11T starts at 499 euros. That's about 2,000, somewhere there, 2,005, right? That's in Malaysia ringgit. And the Xiaomi 11T Pro starts at 649 ringgit, which is about 2,008, which is sort of expected for a high-end Xiaomi, kind of, right now. But what's more interesting, I think, is their Xiaomi Pad 5. Because the Xiaomi Pad 5 is basically, to me, or at least on paper, the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7. Everything else except for its price. Like, it's half the price. And I think it's so sensible.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's so sensible. But anyway, it is kind of like a what they put as a sort of a competitor to the iPad and the iPad Pro kind of thing, which is also what Apple sort of launched. And this is kind of our main talking point today, because Apple was the main talking point last week. They had a very big event, very anticipated event, and they launched the iPhone 13, the iPhone 13 mini, the iPhone 13 Pro, the iPhone 13 Pro Max. That's just the iPhones, okay? The Watch 7, Series 7 Watch, and the iPad Mini. They missed launching the AirPods Pro, or the AirPods 3, and also the VR headset, which everyone was talking about, but they didn't launch those. Basically, they launched the smartphones and the mobile things, like the tablet, right? And I kind of think that while the iPhone 13 has a new A15 Bionic chip, it's kind of overshadowed by something else to me in the launch.
Yeah. I also think that it was very interesting that to see Apple actually segment the iPhone 13 and the Pro and Pro Max separately. Like, it's the first time they've done that.
Oh, no, they did that with the 12.
Yeah, but, like, literally talk about it separately, not so much.
They did talk about that separately in 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did talk about the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro versions kind of separately, because they're like, oh yeah, iPhone 12 and then one more thing, right? So they did sort of the same thing here, except they did segment it a little more differently, because I think people kind of know what's coming, right? If you have an iPhone 13, you're going to have an iPhone 13 Pro. But to me, they're not the stars of the show. They were kind of underwhelming to me. Because if you ask me whether to buy an iPhone 12 or an iPhone 13 at this point, I would tell everyone just to buy the iPhone 12.
Well, it's kind of expected for Apple, though. We already know that either the odd or even years that you get your phone, one of them will be less techy or less specced out than the previous one?
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, iPhone has... Well, at least Apple has been very marginal with their, you know, updates and stuff like that. Even to be fair, right, from the 11 to 12, the differences aren't actually all that much in terms of hardware. But the differences you can see is on the experience, the user experience itself, because they added like a bunch of new stuff on the UI for the camera and stuff like that with new stabilization tools. And they did sort of the same on the 13, just not as drastic of a change from 11 to 12. They did add like a bigger camera, the slightly bigger camera sensor, at least. It's the same resolution, still 12 megapixel, and you're not going to expect to see anything more than that for a while. And they add a new cinematic effect thing for the 13 and 13 Pro series, I think. But those are all very software-based implementations. I mean, we saw the demo, but we don't know how it works just yet in our hands. Kind of cool, but yeah. I think it's just overshadowed. To me, the star of the show was the iPad. Actually, the iPad Mini. Not the iPad 9, you know, iPad Mini. Like,
yeah, the iPad Mini was different for once.
It was different for a very good reason, right? Because to us, while we've sort of seen the hardware and the progression from, you know, the old iPad Air, because I think it's basically just a smaller version of the iPad Air, to be fair, right? But it is, to me, exciting because now it's a smaller iPad Air. You've got an A15 Bionic chip, which is Apple's most powerful anyway. While they claim it to be the most powerful in class, we do believe when it comes to the tablet, because Android tablets have been kind of lacking.
Yeah. Android tablets, software-wise, have been really, really lacking.
Yeah.
But they not seem really to be catching up.
They seem to be catching up, but not fast enough, I think, because While they're hardware-wise, you get the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7, which is one of the most powerful Android tablets around. Experience-wise, it's just pale in comparison, I think, to the iPad. Like, I don't know why.
I think it's a lot to do with optimization, because Android has neglected the tablet market for quite a while.
That is true. And that's why the Android experience on tablets isn't all that great. Yeah, but it kind of... The iPad experience kind of leaves us wanting more. And at this time, you know, the iPad Mini is a USB-C device. So you're not limited by Lightning anymore. You can just get any USB-C and just charge it. And apparently you can use it with your cameras. Like, you can plug the USB-C into a camera and use your iPad with it.
Yeah.
Which is something that you can't really do on an Android tablet currently.
Yeah, I think the closest we have to this on an Android device is the Xperia 1 Pro.
The Xperia Pro. Yeah. Is it 1 Pro or is it the Xperia Pro? I think it's the Xperia Pro.
The Pro version of their flagship.
Yeah, whatever it is. La. The most expensive smartphone. But it's an iPad though. You get like a huge screen compared to like a smartphone, right? So this is going to be a bit more productive. And this is actually cheaper than the Xperia Pro. Like, whatever Pro phone that you get. Because the Pro will set you back about 8,000 ringgit, if I'm not wrong. Okay, the iPad starts at 3,000 plus ringgit. Like, no, sorry, 2,299 ringgit officially. It starts from. Okay, this is just a Wi-Fi version. Basic, I think, 128 gigabytes of storage, you know?
Yeah.
Not great, but it works for, you know, all your creative needs. And it's now supported, well, at least it supports Apple Pencil 2. So it's more of a productivity powerhouse than ever before.
Yeah, and if you're choosing the 5G or LTE version, you're getting Wi-Fi 6 with eSIM compatibility, which means that you can literally have internet on the go.
Yeah.
Which makes it an even better tablet than it already is.
Exactly. And it's just miles ahead, you know, of what Android tablets can offer. I actually think that, you know, the Xiaomi Pad 5 sort of can give it a run for its money. But no, I don't really think so, actually. At the same time, when I think about it, because it's just miles ahead. I don't know. We've reviewed the Galaxy Tab S7. Right, Tab S7 Plus, is it?
Tab S7 Plus.
Yeah, and even compared to an iPad, the experience just pales for some reason.
It's just a lot to do with, I think, at this point, software optimization and support. The iPad has been made for a lot of the apps that evolved from the original iPad.
Yeah. And so, Android just kind of, let's go.
Yeah, so the iPad has been optimized. Like, initially when Apple released the iPad, it was just a larger iPhone-type device.
Mm.
But as apps have developed and developers have created new experiences and new technology for the iPad, they've actually gone along with it. Whereas Android developers have kind tried to reinvent the wheel to a certain extent. And it's not going anywhere because they keep trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, and I think Android is stuck in this loop where, you know, they are so focused on the smartphone end that they kind of forgot that they have a tablet division. Like, they actually have tablet users.
Which
is kind of sad, really.
And the only time that we've heard them talk about tablet users was this year at Google I.O. where they said they're going to surface more tablet-optimized apps.
Yeah, that's kind of just touching the thing. They're not even like going full into the thing.
Yeah, for me, the iPad Mini's biggest feature is actually Center Stage.
Oh, yeah. That's also on the iPad, the new iPad, by the way, right? They have a new 12 megapixel ultra wide front camera for you to capture, you know, not just center stage but a bigger, like a wider selfie, right? But center stage though, I think, is one of the best technologies for video calls. I think
it's not only that, if you are doing like presentations using center stage, it makes so much sense because it follows you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it. And
exactly. You don't have always to move your phone.
Yeah, you don't. Device. You don't need like one of those gimbals where it follows you as you move.
Mm.
But of course, it's limited to the viewing angle of the camera itself.
Of course, but you know, but it actually also adapts, right? When you have two people in the frame, it just expands and shows two people in the frame.
And on top of that, Apple's, I am going to give this to them, they have the best app support when it comes to using styluses.
Yeah.
Try as Android may, the apps on the iPad is still far better when it comes to stylus support.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. Because here's the thing, if somebody asked me and they are using an Android tablet or on Android smartphones, right, I would tell them to get the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7, but like I will also tell them to probably avoid tablets from the Android ecosystem for now, unless they don't mind, you know, slightly subpar experience. The Xiaomi Pad 5 kind of changed that for me, in the sense that because it's the price point is so low that it's not too bad, right? It's still okay. But when you see the iPad mini, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, that's so much better.
And personally, for me, 8 inches is where I find the Goldilocks zone when it comes to tablets.
Right.
So, and I have been using a Huawei tablet, an 8-inch Huawei tablet from God knows when.
That's a media pad or something like that. That's way back when they called it the media pad.
That is perfect for me, especially because I am reading comics, books, and stuff on it. So, like, it's easy to hold, it's easy to maneuver, and I think Apple made a really good bet in doing the big revamp for the iPad mini instead of just writing off the line.
No, I don't think they should write off the line, because I think it's a popular size. It's pocketable. I don't know why you would pocket an 8-inch tablet, but yeah, it is still pocketable. You can put it in your back pocket. It's huge, but you can, kind of, if you have a big enough pocket.
Yeah, if you put it in your back pocket, please remember that it's there.
Yeah, well, you're not going to miss it, basically. You will know that it's there. It feels like you're sitting on some hard surface, even when you're standing. Yeah. Or at least that's what I feel. I don't know about you. But yeah, please do remember, don't break your $2,000, 2,000 ringgit new tablet if you do. But yeah, it is kind of, I think for me, it kind of leave me wanting a bit more from Android. And I think that's only something that time can tell. Like something that time can probably fix. We really hope that, you know, Google can come up with something better, or something that is at least matching experience. So far, we haven't seen any.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it's going to improve next year.
Hopefully.
But I think the biggest difference we see with Apple is Apple's refusal to make iPad use Mac OS or iOS anymore. And they have said, no, we have iPad OS, which is optimized and created specifically for a tablet experience.
That's one thing that they have, you know, put a stance against in the past few years, especially when they introduced the iPad OS, I think 2-3 years ago. And in that sense, I think that's a very clever move. But at the same time, it could be a very crippling move also, because while it does a lot of good for the iPad, it kind of holds back the iPad Pro a little bit. Especially now that the iPad Pro has, you know, the M1 chip. And they haven't actually done anything significant with it so far. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. At the same time, I think this is an inkling of where the iPad as a lineup will be heading.
Yeah. Although it's a glimpse of what we can expect from the iPad future.
At least. Although it feels like the original iPad has become a throwaway device in the line. Because if you compare all the other iPads to the iPad, the iPad is sorely lacking in every aspect.
It is true, but it is the cheapest one in the lineup. And I think it is perfect kind of for new learners or, you know, new users to the tablet lineup that, you know, kind of wants to use it to for classes or, you know, just for entertainment purposes, because you don't really need a super high-end tablet.
The price difference between that and a bottom-of-the-line iPad mini isn't that far.
Actually, it's quite far. It's double.
Yeah, but...
the iPad mini is double the price of a iPad 9.
Yeah, but if you're using it for education purposes, you would go with the highest possible spec on the iPad.
I think it really depends on the user, because sometimes you just need, you know, video conferencing. You don't really need like super high-end specs kind of thing. And I actually really think that, you know, the iPad kind of, while this is a big insult to Google, okay, it's kind of rivaling the Google Chromebooks for learning hardware, I think, which is not very flattering for Google, but at the same time, it kind of is targeted for that, because for now, the only one tablet that is, you know, advertised as having a student pricing in Malaysia, at least, is the iPad. Not the iPad.
Yeah. But at the same time, not many schools in Malaysia use tablets.
Yeah, not for now anyway. But if you do need a tablet for home and stuff like that, because everyone's working from home and studying from home, right? You know, it's a good alternative. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. This is, you know, the Apple event has been, you know, quite a big one. But really, we don't think the iPhone 13 was anywhere near being the star of the show, actually, really. We actually think the iPad mini really, really shines through this time. While it is... it can get quite expensive, but, you know, 2,299 ringgit is not an unreasonable price for a high-end tablet like that. I don't think so, lah, to me.
Yeah, I think it's quite... the pricing of the mini is actually quite reasonable.
Yeah. But anyway, that's our opinion, you know. Just if you have a different opinion, do let us know in the comment box. If you are on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, we're on there too. You know, you can leave us comments there. Or you can head out to our website, www.techn.tv, to read about all these kind of stuff and even comment in the article sections, you know. And we are also on social media, so reach out to us. That's on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and even LinkedIn. We are TechNTV, that is TechNTV across all these channels, right? So if you want to reach out to us, you know where to find us. And yeah, basically that's it. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. I'm Darwin and Jeevan signing out. Bye bye.
See ya.